From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. Today, our Living with AIDS series continues. Yesterday, we heard from four very different Americans, all of them struggling to move past their HIV infection and lead healthy, meaningful lives. Now we turn our attention half a world away to Africa and Kenya's western Suba district. There, AIDS has ravaged fishing communities up and down Lake Victoria. Women have been hardest hit, and an entire generation of children has been orphaned. On a recent trip to the region, NPR's Corey Turner found out why help has been so slow in coming.
Getting to Kenya's remote Suba district isn't just hard. It hurts. From Nairobi, it's an hour ride on a small turboprop plane, then another hour by ferry. But that's nothing compared to 3 hours in a land cruiser. To call the winding trail to Suba a road is like, well, calling the rattle of our cruiser's seats a Beethoven symphony. Suba's in western Kenya. It's a rocky but lush region on the shores of Lake Victoria. The majority of its 150,000 residents live in corrugated tin shacks, without electricity or running water. Children play on Suba's sand beaches. Behind them, most men old enough to cast a net pack the lake in rough-hewn boats. Each family has a small shamba or garden, but most survive on tilapia and Nile perch from Lake Victoria. Fish was once a symbol of life in Suba, but lately it's brought nothing but hardship to these shores.
My name is Arfibi Ochenhaga. I come from Waware South. My husband died, but he did not die of AIDS. But afterwards, I got it through Jaboya.
Jaboya, she explains, in Suba's Luo language, means a customer who's also a lover, though not necessarily by choice.
We were walking along the beaches, buying and selling fish. And you know, if you don't have money, you go for a fish, and in return, they would like to play sex with you.
That's right. She had sex for fish, for food.
I was desperate. I could not help. I had children. There was no way out I could do it.
We're sitting on a blanket in the courtyard of Kageno Trust Kenya, a community group. It helps HIV-positive women and AIDS orphans. Phoebe's hair clings to her neck in a thick shock, and she wears a starched white shirt, black skirt, and sandals. She's surrounded by a support group of 8 other women, most of whom also got HIV from Jaboya. In Suba, sex is currency, as valuable as Kenyan coin shillings to the region's young fishermen. Many are just teenagers. When fish stocks are down, as they were this year, prices go up. And for women like Phoebe, who have no other way to support their families, trading sex for food is a daily necessity. That's one reason nearly half of all women in Suba are HIV positive, according to a study from International Medical Corps.
My full name is Scarlett Ogweno Anade.
Walking through Suba's coastal villages, it's not unusual to find one adult taking care of several orphans. Scarlett Anade is secretary of the Gwazi Nyatambe Development Forum, another local group fighting AIDS in Suba. He lost 3 brothers to the disease and now looks after their orphans.
I'm left with the burden of caring for them, educational-wise.
I'm left with the burden of taking care of them, educational-wise, and finding a way of however they can eat and clothe themselves. So it has become very, very difficult. Remember, I also have 3 children, and a family of 10 children I'm taking care of.
Anade says it's hard to underestimate the impact AIDS has had on his home.
In Kenya today, if you are not affected...
In Kenya today, if you're not affected, then you're infected. If you or your wife or your children aren't dead, then your brother's dead. So you are affected or you're infected. So I would say it's a major, major real problem in Kenya.
The challenges are legion for the few local and international aid groups now in Suba, and for residents like Scarlett who want to help. But where to start when women and girls, wives and widows are so bound by custom? Until recently, HIV-positive women were stigmatized by society, sometimes even forced to leave home. And healthy women had neither the social nor economic power to refuse sex with infected men. Ruth Adhiambo is a proud, frail woman sitting on the blanket beside Phoebe. She was forced by local custom to quickly remarry after her husband had died.
By the time I found this man, he had the disease. Because I was still stupid and I was not aware of the information, or I didn't know what to do, I could not tell him that we go for VCT.
VCT, or voluntary HIV counseling and testing, has only recently come to Suba. Women have shown an eagerness to know their status. Not so with the men, no matter their sexual history or the deaths of past partners, as Ruth knows all too well.
This man I found had had three wives, but the other wives had already died. I was happy that I found a man, and yet I only found somebody who was already sick.
Among the orphans Scarlett and Ade inherited, several are girls, and he hopes he can help them escape the helplessness imposed on them by tradition.
I think all children are equal. So to me,
I think all children are equal. So to me, I would be very much grateful if these girls could go to school and get a good education. They can become professors, doctors of tomorrow. And I know they will save lives of Kenyans.
But that won't help the nine women at Kagano Trust Kenya, fanning themselves in the heat. Access to antiretroviral or ARV drugs is still limited, at best. ARVs have to be picked up personally at the nearest Ministry of Health facility in the town of Homa Bay. That means Ruth and Phoebe both have to take time off work to travel or walk if they can't afford a ride.
It is very difficult because from here to Homa Bay, like nowadays when it is raining, you may spend even a night on the road. So the transport from here to Homa Bay is a problem. And with the drugs, you feel dizzy. So, you know, when you are dizzy, you need to have something to eat.
And Phoebe's not alone. Many in Suba, men and women alike, told me they have trouble accessing life-saving ARVs. And when they do manage to obtain the drugs, they're often too hungry to stomach them. But Phoebe makes one more thing clear to me before I leave the group. She's also a fighter. If she had given up, she wouldn't be at Kagano Trust, on this blanket with eight other women, all of them friends now. Nor would she be traveling with them, up and down the beach, telling her neighbors about AIDS. It's not easy for Phoebe to share her story, day in and day out, but she hopes Suba's fishermen will hear it, and that they'll spread word of the disease as quickly as they once spread the disease itself. It's her way, she says, of living positive. Corey Turner, NPR News.